Welcome to KMUD, Redwood Community Radio News. My name is April Lewis, and I'm glad to introduce myself as your news director. Some of you may know me already from writing for local publications, but for those that don't, I look forward to meeting many of you and spending each week with you on the airwaves as we navigate an uncertain time for our region and the world around us. I'd like to take a moment to thank Nat Cardos, who carried the director torch through a transition period for our department. Nat is luckily staying on as a reporter for KMUD, and we're grateful to have his voice. This broadcast marks the beginning of a fresh start for KMUD News as we aim to bring more comprehensive and relevant coverage to our listeners. Please bear with us as we work to improve our broadcast quality and output. That includes increased local coverage across the Emerald Triangle, along with cutting through the noise of national news outlets and bringing you factual reporting on important state, national, and global stories. In the coming months, we'll be introducing a series of changes with the goal of self-producing the entire news broadcast from start to finish at our studios here in South Humboldt. We begin tonight with a rundown of top headlines and continuing stories. Later in the broadcast, we'll have in-depth reporting from our news team covering the governor's race, local crime, and the passing of a beloved member of the KMUD family. I'm April Lewis, and this is KMUD News. Welcome to the rundown. Starting off with some good news for our region. According to a press release by Redwood National and State Parks, visitation is trending up for our Redwood parks. Redwood National and State Parks, including Redwood National Park and Jedediah Smith, Del Norte Coast, and Prairie Creek Redwood State Parks, welcomed nearly 2.5 million visitors in 2025. This represents an 11% increase in visitation over 2024, although some of that increase is due to changes in how visitors are counted. Park Superintendent Leonel Arguello is quoted in the press release stating, "We are honored that so many people choose to visit Redwood National and State Parks. Every year, people come from around the world to walk among our ancient redwoods, explore our rugged coastline, and immerse themselves in this extraordinary landscape," end quote. In national news, NASA's Artemis II moon mission set a record today for the farthest mankind has ventured into space, with the astronauts reaching over 252,000 miles from the Earth during a lunar flyby. This breaks the previous record set by the Apollo 13 mission in 1970. The astronauts observed parts of the lunar surface never before seen by human eyes. According to NBC News, Apollo missions did not get the same view due to how their flights were routed. The three astronauts are expected to splash down in the Pacific Ocean on Friday for their return to Earth. And turning now to the continuing situation in Iran. On Friday, KMUD News had reported on a missing pilot from an American F-15 that was shot down over southwestern Iran. We now have more information on what happened, including a rescue of the injured airmen. In a mission described as a, quote, huge rescue search by sources, the U.S. paused some operations in the region to focus on finding the missing airmen. The airman was found injured, but alive, late Saturday night in a mountainous region of Iran. Trump posted an expletive-filled message to Truth Social on Easter Sunday after the rescue operation. Quote, "Tuesday will be power plant day and bridge day, all wrapped in one, in Iran. There'll be nothing like it. Open the effing straight, you crazy bastards, or you'll be living in hell. Just watch. Praise be to Allah," end quote. Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer posted his own tweet to X in response, quote, "As you head off to church and celebrate with friends and family, the President of the United States is ranting like an unhinged madman on social media. He's threatening possible war crimes and alienating allies. This is who he is, but this is not who we are. Our country deserves to be so much better," end quote. Trump hosted a press conference on Monday afternoon where he stated his belief that the Iranian people want more bombings. The president also relayed that hundreds of people were involved with the rescue operation and that the operation lasted several hours. He said, quote, "It was a very dangerous mission. I just felt like it was worth it," end quote. In response to the continuing Iran conflict, the cost of Brent crude now stands at around $110 per barrel at press time, staying over $100 per barrel since March 23rd. And now for in-depth reporting from our news team. First, we have a story by Gabriel Zucker, reporting on the complicated governor's race in California, followed by a story by Nat Cardos, on a felony arrest in Eureka involving sexual offenses.
The race for the governor of California is starting to take form, with the primary less than 2 months away. The primary election is on June 2nd, with early voting beginning May 23rd, and the election being held on November 3rd. The current governor, Gavin Newsom, is unable to run for a third term due to California's term limits. This has led to a wide-open race, with a wide variety of candidates vying to be California's new governor. Currently, the top two candidates are two Republicans. Former Fox News host Steve Hilton, who received President Trump's endorsement, and Riverside County's Sheriff Chad Blanco, who are polling at 15.6 and 14.6% respectively, according to the average of five state polls looking at the upcoming election. They are then followed by three Democrat candidates: California Congressman Eric Swalwell, who is polling at 14%. Former California U.S. Representative Katie Porter is at 11.4%. And billionaire Tom Steyer is coming in at 10.4%, with five other Democratic candidates still in the race, with each falling under 10%. California runs a top two primary election, or jungle primary, which means that only two candidates, regardless of party affiliation, with most votes, will be on the official ballot for the November election, meaning the lead up to the primary election is a free-for-all. Currently, the top two primary system has been a big talking point because the top two candidates are Republican, which means the governor election could be between two Republican candidates in a primarily Democratic state. The Democrats are splitting votes, which is giving the two Republican candidates a chance to jump ahead. GOP strategist Rob Stutzman talked about the need for collaboration among the two Republican candidates, saying, quote, "There's an amazing irony there, that they need to beat each other, but they both need to succeed at the same time. It cuts against human nature, and cuts against the way you put together campaigns," end quote. Currently, the top two candidates, Hilton and Blanco, have not been collaborating leading up to the primary election. Hilton has attacked Blanco for kneeling during the 2020 Black Lives Matter protest, and Blanco has pointed to their similar polling as proof that Hilton cannot carry the Republican Party, calling him a fraud amongst Republicans. Democrats are still confident that the two Republican candidates won't win both of the primary spots, but are still trying to be realistic about their approach in the upcoming election. In an open letter to Democratic candidates, penned at the beginning of March, California Democratic Party Chair Rusty Hicks told candidates to withdraw if they did not have a realistic chance of winning the position. Quote, "I ask the following. If you do not have a viable path to make it to the general election, do not file to place your name on the ballot for the primary election. If you decide to file, be prepared to suspend your campaign and endorse another candidate on or before April 15th, if your campaign cannot show meaningful progress towards winning the primary election in the coming weeks." End quote. There is still a crowded Democratic field, but may soon become more focused after April 15th. With more updates coming soon, this is Gabriel Zucker with KMUD.
A Eureka man is currently in custody facing an arrest on multiple felony charges involving alleged sexual offenses against minors, according to booking information from the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. On April 3rd, Tristan Mitchell, 42, was arrested at approximately 1:10 p.m. and is being held on a Ramey warrant. A Ramey warrant is issued by a judge before formal charges are filed, which allows law enforcement to arrest the suspect based on probable cause while prosecutors prepare the case. According to booking information, Mitchell faces three counts of Penal Code 288A, lewd acts with a child under 14, two counts of Penal Code 287C, oral copulation with a minor, and two counts of Penal Code 289A1A, sexual penetration with a foreign object. He is currently being held without bail at the Humboldt County Correctional Facility. Details about the allegations, including when or where the alleged offenses occurred and how the investigation began, have yet to be released. Publicly available records show that a person with the same name previously studied social work at Cal Poly Humboldt and authored a graduate project in 2014 that focused on improving communication between court-appointed special advocates, CASA, and community professionals working with children. Additionally, he previously was employed at Adoption Horizons as MSW supervising social worker until their closure in July of 2023. In September of 2024, Mitchell described a months-long child abuse investigation involving an adult former foster child in a social media post. In the posts, Mitchell alleged that early one morning of March 2024, the adult former foster child, quote, "started an arson fire and burned down a mobile home that I owned, end quote. Further, Mitchell wrote that the former foster child's, quote, older sister and brother then accused me of a multitude of abuses and crimes against him in an attempt to mitigate his personal responsibilities for his actions, end quote. While that account has not been independently verified, a Humboldt Bay Fire press release from March 18, 2024, describes a residential fire on Surfside Drive in the Humboldt Hill area of Eureka that resulted in an estimated $175,000 in damage. As of now, law enforcement has not confirmed whether that incident is the same as referenced in the posts. According to Mitchell's social media posts, the allegations led to months-long investigation involving law enforcement and child welfare authorities. He further wrote, quote, as my former foster child, with my blessing, the DA offered him a plea deal that will require him to be on probation and to comply with mental health treatment during that time, end quote. Details of that account have not been confirmed by law enforcement or prosecutors. All suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. This is still a developing story, and KMUD News will provide updates as more information becomes available. This is Nat Cardos reporting for KMUD News.
And now, we have a public news story from Suzanne Potter on emissions from cattle on California dairy farms, followed by National Native News.
Cattle on California dairy farms produce huge amounts of manure, which releases methane gas into the atmosphere. Now, a new study looks at leaks in the digester systems meant to capture and repurpose that gas. Researchers from the University of California, Riverside find that digester systems capture methane effectively but must be monitored for leaks because even temporary failures can release massive amounts of the potent greenhouse gas. Study author and UCR climate scientist Alyssa Valdez says when a digester covers a waste lagoon, it acts like a giant balloon.
It does a great job of capturing all of that methane, but when it leaks, you might see more methane than you accounted for. And those leaks, unwatched and unregulated, can pose a real large problem.
The digesters are designed to funnel the captured methane into natural gas pipelines. Researchers analyzed 8 years of satellite data and airborne observations from 98 dairies across the state. In some cases, they observed point source methane emissions leaking from digesters at 1,000 kilograms per hour, which is more than 90% higher than the typical rate of emissions from an open-air manure lagoon. The California dairy industry reports 243 dairy digester projects in the state, with about a third of them still in development. Valdez says although leaks are rare, the fight against climate change means methane releases must be minimized.
It's 80 times stronger than carbon dioxide, so we don't want to create large emissions of it into our air.
The study recommends that going forward, aerial observation should be combined with on-the-ground measurements to make sure digester systems are in good working order. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is National Native News. I'm Jill Freitas. Judge Sharon Gleason dismissed a federal class action lawsuit filed against the Alaska Office of Children's Services last week. The lawsuit was brought by a national nonprofit working for foster care reforms. Attorneys for the organization alleged Alaska foster children are at risk of harm because of systematic problems that violated federal laws, including the Americans with Disabilities Act and federal child welfare protections. They pointed to high caseloads for caseworkers and an inadequate hiring and training process. About two-thirds of the kids in out-of-home care in the state are Alaska Native. But Gleason wrote that the attorneys didn't prove that any of the foster youth represented were actually harmed. Gleason also questioned the reliability of the evidence presented. Marcia Lowry is attorney and executive director of A Better Childhood, which brought the suit. She called the dismissal quite disappointing.
We did do a trial that involved a lot of evidence that I think was largely undisputed about how high the caseloads are in Alaska, about the lack of placement resources for children, about the failure to basically make attempts to remedy that situation.
She says a lot of children in Alaska are not getting benefits they're entitled to under federal law. Lowry says A Better Childhood is not sure yet of its next steps, but is considering an appeal.
We have seen dysfunctional child welfare systems really, really change and provide good services to kids, but We have seen that only as a result of litigation.
The Office of Children's Services declined an interview for the story. In a written statement, they said they are pleased with the court's decision and the verdict is an opportunity for the office to continue advancing its work. This story was provided by Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court spent 2 hours hearing a landmark case that could upend birthright citizenship. A 19th century ruling on the citizenship of tribal members was at the heart of the Trump administration's defense. KJZZ's Gabriel Pietrasio has this report.
This was the exchange during oral arguments when Justice Neil Gorsuch pressed Solicitor General John Sauer, who presented the government's case.
Yes. So if a tribal Indian, for example, gives up allegiance to...
Born today, birthright citizens.
I think so, on our test. Yeah. If they're lawfully domiciled here.
Okay.
I have to think that through, but that's my reaction.
I'll take the yes. That's all right.
In an 1884 majority decision, the justices ruled John Elk, a Winnebago man living in Omaha, was not a U.S. citizen, in spite of the 14th Amendment codifying birthright citizenship.
My mother was probably not a United States citizen when she was born in 1923 in Oklahoma.
Bob Miller, who is Eastern Shawnee and with ASU's Indian Legal Clinic, has been teaching this very precedent of Elk versus Wilkins for 3 decades now.
I disagree completely with the argument that that's analogous to undocumented immigrants and them having children here.
For National Native News, I'm Gabriel Pietrasio.
And I'm Jill Freitas.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
To end our broadcast, we remember a longtime K-Mud family member.
This past Friday, the founder of K-Mud's long-running Friday morning talk show, Thank Jah It's Friday, Al Owl Serralo, passed away in his early 80s. Serralo was a local actor, director, playwright, and screenwriter with movie writing credits on Gonjosaurus Rex, 1987, and additionally wrote short films Aries Moon and Stealing You Blind from 2002 and 2000. Originally from New York, Serralo was born and raised in Queens. In the 1960s, he moved to San Francisco, where he lived on Haight-Ashbury with his partner. It was there that they decided to buy land, which brought them up on a trip to Northern California, where they ended up finding their home in Bryceland. Here's Serralo from an interview 2 years ago with Joanne Wilson, where in his own words, he describes driving through Southern Humboldt for the first time.
And like I say, that's where I was living there, corner of Haight-Ashbury. Me and my partner moved back to, with the baby to Haight-Ashbury, but didn't know what we were going to do until we decided, I know, let's just buy our own piece of land. So we got in our Nash Rambler and rambled through the state of California all the way up through around areas like Sequoia and Yakima and all the way around Redding. And we came down 36, Highway 36, and we were coming down Highway 36 and we were going into the Eel River Valley with the giant redwood trees. And we're going, and our hearts are just going, ba-boom, ba-boom. Where is this place? What is this? Oh my God, this is like beautiful. We've got to live here. We've got to figure out how we can get up here.
The property in Bryceland was eventually called Hokahay, which is a Lakota Sioux phrase translated as "It's a good day to die."
We just pitched the tent next to the creek, but there was no roads, no anything. It was just steep. Land so steep as the old timers would say, steep as a sheep's face. That's how bad it was, and wooded, know, and that's what we had. Then my partners came later, And we all sat around the fire saying, what are we going to do? What do we name this place? It took us a long time to get a name. We argued and we kicked the dirt and we threw rocks at each other and trying to find out a good name for the piece of land.
Right.
So we did eventually call it Hokahe.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the Sioux exclamation of it's a beautiful day. It's a great day to die.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we didn't know what we were going to do. We just went, we all said, I'm going this way, you go that way, and we'll find a place to build a house.
Okay.
And that's what happened. We walked to places, everybody walked to their own little place, found their own little place to build a house in. And that's it. And that's how we started.
Cirillo also co-founded the Pierre Schmintz Players, a comedy hippie theater troupe that formed after he and others had auditioned for Garberville's Redwood Players and were all rejected. The original Pierre Schmintz lineup consisted of Joni Rose, Linda Dillon, Ron Jennings, Barry Wixman, Dominic Palette, and others. Pierre Schmintz Plays were written as a group and were described by the Star Root Journal as, quote, nouveau, avant-garde, folk-funk, confusion experimental, end quote, in 1977.
Well, we did a number with Pierre Schmintz, and so I got to say, with a whole bunch of plays, we did, like I say, Growing Pains, and then Nobody Knows, then It's Not My Ego, It's the Coffee, and then we did Whoosh, and God, that's some others too.
There were a lot of them.
Yeah, we did a lot of them. We did about seven or eight of them.
Yeah.
Oh, Vibram Soul was another one that we did. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so the other groups I got involved, sometimes I'd work with PB doing stand-up comedy.
Uh-huh.
And we would travel with that. Sometimes we'd do the show. We traveled with the Pierre Schmintz shows, too. We we were playing down in Berkeley and Mendocino and up in Arcata. So, I got involved with the Redwood Players a little bit, too.
Right.
When they were doing it. So, but that was more of the straight theater type of stuff, you know, which was which is great for somebody who loves acting, and I do love it.
In 1987, Cirillo was hired as an underwriting representative at KMUD. That year began the soft launch of the morning talk show, now known as Thank God It's Friday, which got its official name in 1991.
PB came up to me once and said, he said, you want to do a show on KMUD? I said, with you? No. And I said, okay, sure, why not, you know? And he came back and he said, yeah, we got a spot on Fridays at 9 o'clock in the morning? You want me to be funny at 9 o'clock in the morning? Come on, man, what are you doing? He said, I know, but that's the only place they had, everything's taken. I'm going, God damn. And basically, I said, okay. I relented and I said, sure, let's do it. Okay, let's try it out, see what happens. Make some good coffee, I should be fine. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's how it started. I think it was about 1991, 92. And then we said, well, what are we going to call the show? And I don't know. It was a Friday show, so you always hear the term, thank God it's Friday. So we said, since everybody loves reggae so much, let's call the Thank John's Friday. And that's it. And we just did the show today, and we had Jay Leno as a call-in guest, so that's kind of interesting.
Cirillo continued to contribute to KMUD over the years after eventually stepping down from hosting the Friday talk show. He passed on Friday, April 3rd. KMUD spoke with longtime programmer and host of Heart of Earth and World Beat Show, Agnes Patak, for more about her time working with Cirillo.
The first time I saw him was in the Pierre Schmintz Plays way, 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 way back when. And then, of course, with the Gontosaurus Rex movie. But I worked with him. He was such a prolific playwright. And he wrote, you know, these incredible musicals and plays. He had one about, you know, people getting taken in by aliens. Another one about the afterlife when someone dies and, you know, when they get on the other side. He also did another excellent one about how people had to have guns to, you know, at night you just hear guns shooting off. I mean, it was just incredible. And I worked on most of those, doing props and photographing, but doing Random People. He was really involved with Random People Theater. which is happening in 2 weeks at the Redwood Playhouse. He submitted so many different plays, and I acted with him. I directed him. He was just such an incredible artist in so many ways. And, you know, most people know him from St. Jaw on K-Mud. He started that way back when with the late Fred in the Hills. God, me, I'm tone deaf. I cannot carry a note. You don't even want me singing happy birthday to you. But he got me singing when we did a we did it at the Garberville Theater, and it was like four or five, you know, different playlets, and it all had to do with marijuana. He actually had me playing a part. There was all these OG hippies that were all in an old folks home. and he actually got me to sing, and which is a really hard thing to do, and I still to this day cannot believe that I actually sang in front of groups of people in a play, and only Al could get me to do that.
Random People Theater will be dedicating their upcoming performances on the weekend of April 17th to the 19th to Cirillo. Currently, there is no date set for a memorial.
If you had to do it over again, the whole route of, you know, going on this adventure and everything,
yeah,
would you do it again?
Yeah, I would make that same choice, I'm sure. I kind of believe that, you know, I don't want to get too out there, but, you know, I believe these choices are made in a different place. And uh-huh. And the choices that are made because we need to, our souls need to grow in certain aspects. Uh-huh. And so we challenge ourselves even when we have really negative or apparently negative things that come up. They were put there because we have to get through them. We have to challenge ourselves to get through them, become more fully human beings, real human beings. And I believe that those things are worked out earlier. Uh-huh. We don't know how it's going to happen, but I think those points of those targets will be met, but we have a free will to how we're going to meet them. Uh-huh. You know. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so okay. I would do it over.
This is Nat Cardos reporting for K-Mud News.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Javier Rodriguez, and thanks to our reporters, Nat Cardos and Gabriel Zucker. K-Mud News is online. You can find us on kmud.org and now streaming on podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media, including Facebook and Instagram. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for K-Mud, I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.
Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiyot, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to this region.